Welcome to Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the place for everything midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
It's your host team of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon here with Furnished Finder Marketing and Podcast.
Today we got to talk with Alexis. Alexis has 6 properties. She has a good mix of ownership and arbitrage. She's located in the New York City area, but all of her properties are not local to her. So it was really cool to talk to her. I've actually met her at one conference and Kelly met her at another conference. So guys, your Furnished Finder team, we are out there at these conferences and these summits, and we love talking to everyone. We love talking to people who have midterm rentals, who don't have midterm rentals, who want to have a midterm rental. Like, I always come home from these conferences so exhausted, but in the best way, because I'm like, oh, I got to talk to my people.
So true.
I'm looking forward to, we talk about so much on this episode. Like, we talk about, you know, having good systems, finding good teams, furnishings, network, like so much. I can't even hone on one thing because it was just, we talk about it all. So enjoy, and please remember that this episode and every episode is brought to you by Furnished Finder. Furnished Finder, we are like the home for midterm rentals, where you can find them, you can lease them, you can list them. It's like the one-stop shop. So check it out, furnishedfinder.com, and you can also list your property for $99 per year. Not per lease, but per year, which is super great.
I have the privilege to introduce Alexis King, property owner, midterm rental host, and regional manager at LinkedIn. Alexis will talk with us today about creating a successful out-of-state midterm rental investment strategy. Alexis lives in New York City, invests in New York, and has midterm rentals in Texas, Florida, and Pennsylvania. Alexis, we're so glad to have you today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hello, hello.
Now, what y'all don't know is Alexis and I met at the Bigger Pockets conference, and she was just a beam of light and really a highlight of the conference. So this is a special episode talking with her today. Okay, but I can't lie. All of our episodes are special, but I'm so glad you're here. What did you think about the Bigger Pockets conference? And would you recommend it to others?
Absolutely. I learned so much from the conferences, and it's not just that, but it's the interaction with all of the people that are there, from vendors to just other guests who are stopping by to say, you know, hello, and why are you in this session? And which is how we met. We ended up sitting next to each other in one of the sessions, and Kelly helped me right away. It was amazing. I saw her badge and it said Furnished Finder. And I remember thinking, oh, well, you know, I tried to use them and it didn't work out so well for me. And Kelly was able to say, well, there's some things you can do to tweak to make sure that your listing is seen and viewed, you know, a little bit better. And just really that helped tremendously. And we stayed in touch, and immediately I saw the difference. It was how I was managing the leads and what was matched and unmatched. I didn't have the notifications for unmatched.
Uh-oh.
And that really made a huge difference.
That's amazing. I love that. Any other tidbits that from then to now that you've discovered about Furnished Finder you want to share? We'll probably cover more later, but anything from that conference that was like a big change for you?
From that conference, just in general?
Just in general.
There are things out there that I didn't know existed.
Uh-huh.
As far as services that could help and help you run my business and do things more efficiently. So many different things, from virtual assistants. I learned that at the second conference when I was with Katie at Investor. So going to conferences makes a huge difference. So when I was with Katie at the Investor conference, I learned about the value of getting in executive assistant and how that could help you in just managing things overall. And then also a product I'd never heard of about how to manage your utilities and get those bills paid and to how to just do the billing and then still tie it back into everything else and what's going on in my furnished finder as I'm keeping track of my tenants. So that was just really useful. So I highly encourage people going to not just conferences, but summits. I'm really going to try and make sure I attend the next summit because I'm sorry I missed the last one.
Yeah, you make a good point because you can go to these conferences or summits and there's so much information and there's so many people you connect with. It's borderline overwhelming. And then you get home and it's our nature to just kind of jump back into the routine. But I think what's important is even if you take one or two or three things and implement them, whether it's something like getting a virtual assistant or like you said, a new billing system or whatever it is, but like putting something into play. Otherwise, you know, it's a nice little break, but you're not changing your bottom line. So I think that's a great reminder because we all like to learn stuff, but you got to put it into play too.
Absolutely.
Well, Katie, you want to ask your favorite question?
Oh yeah. I don't even have to look. I just know what it is. All right, Alexis, tell us your current portfolio and how you got to where you are.
Certainly. Well, I currently have 6 properties, four that I own, 2 that I arbitrage, which as your listeners know, which is where I rent them full time and then list them out on the other sites. I do have I am a real estate agent. I'm a licensed real estate agent in New York. And that came about as part of this growth in increasing my portfolio. So you said, what did I do to start? Well, it started in a conversation. My cousin and I, during the pandemic, we went from a conversation of we should really go and rent a house together in the Poconos so we can get away and spend some family time together. She's, married with 4 kids and my sister has 2 kids and her husband. So I was like, let's just get all the kids together and we'll go up and have a good time. So it went from, it'd be great to rent a house to, well, we might as well buy it. Well, since we're going to do this, we can buy it and then we can list it and we can start renting it. And then we started working with a real estate agent who was amazing and she showed us different houses. And in 1 year, we bought 4 houses.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So it was really just exciting and new and they all started doing so well. So those were the ones that we owned. And then as I got more comfortable with how the whole process worked and listing properties and renting them out and what it all entailed, then I became comfortable with doing it further away from where I lived. So that's when I picked up on my own 2 properties that I arbitraged, the one in Houston, Spring, Texas, and the one in Tampa. And here's the most interesting thing. I have had the Texas house for about a year now. I have never been there. I have not stepped foot
I love that.
In this property. And it has been positive cash flow since. I had it set up. I found a company that, TaskRabbit, property manager, got it all set up. And I was planning to come down and take a look. But she also listed it for me. So it was like furnished. Everything was taken care of. I took care of the utilities, during it was the pandemic. So we were really doing business over the internet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It was all taken care of. And then my plan was to fly down and take a look, but it booked immediately. And then it booked again. And then because of the location near a military base, I'm sure it's not unusual to you, Kelly, being from the area. I was immediately getting 2-month bookings and people were asking right away. And that was on the time on Airbnb. And then I thought, like I said, I met you and I was like, well, there's better ways to do this. And cutting them out of the process and just handling it more midterm by myself with the property manager, it was not too difficult. It was, lots of steps and things to take care of, but it wasn't overwhelming. And the experience from the other properties had taught me that. So because I was comfortable with it, I ended up listing it on Furnished Finder and have just had it booked with no problem since. And I'm still not able to get down because it's still booked up for the next 3-4 months.
That's amazing. You have sent so many light bulbs off in my head as you're talking. So the first one, I want to address is arbitrage. What we've talked with other guests on the show about is typically arbitrage where you are. And Katie has an arbitrage in another state.
And it's also one that I've never been to. So we're on our second or third tenant there, and I've never been there. And it's so weird because I got a question from the tenant of like, hey, where can I, like, it was a very normal question. And I was like, I didn't tell the tenant this, but I had to like ask my team, like, is there space for this bin here or whatever? Because I don't know. I don't know
Valid.
Where the closet is.
Valid question. So the reason I'm bringing this up is people already sometimes have a difficult time finding arbitrages in their hometown where they are. So how did you go about finding two arbitrages in different states successfully?
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to furnishedfinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
Yes, through the networking that we talked about, I'd followed some people in social media, started going to their websites, listening and learning about their business and what they do. And there's several people out there who their business is to set up apartments for short-term listings. And I started with one, we build a relationship, and then she put me in touch with her agent who had the property in Tampa. So I got from the Texas person, I got another house in Tampa, Florida for even a better deal. It already came furnished. And all I had to do was put in the linens and some dishes and plates just because of the connections and the time. And as we all go through processes, some people say, okay, well, now I've done this. I want to go do something else. And now I've got this unit and it's available or a house. And the owners, they just wanted full-time renters in there. They had previously, the one in Tampa, they previously had that on Airbnb and VRBO. And they didn't want to deal with it anymore. So they were more than happy to lease it to me in my business name. And they were well aware from the beginning that it was my intention to list it on Furnished Finder eventually, but the other sites. So that is how I found out about them.
So the second light bulb that went off was not only did you find arbitrage in other states, you also said you're using management companies and are still profitable. So break that down for us, because a lot of people don't think that that's possible to be profitable still.
Yeah, I know. I keep hearing about that. But if you price your property at the proper level and looking at what does it all entail, you realize that I would call it a property manager, but it's really a host, because the property in Texas is an apartment in a apartment complex. You don't need a property manager. If something goes wrong or breaks, someone from the management company of the apartment complex will come and fix it. Also, it's very rare that anything breaks. And when you do midterm rentals, and that was part of the learning process, when you have midterm rentals, they're usually just not as needy. They go to work, they come home, they work extra hard because it's a short period of time that they're trying to accomplish something. So they're not looking for a lot. In the beginning, there was just some, hey, I noticed I need this, I need that. And I said, I'll send it to you right away. I think there wasn't a vacuum that they worked, because our cleaning people brought the vacuum when I was thinking of short term. So I didn't have a vacuum in the house. The person said that they needed a vacuum for the house and they were going to be there for 4 months. I said, sure. And I sent them a vacuum right away and they couldn't have been happier. So that's the difference, is figuring out what are the numbers? What do I need? What kind of management and property management do I need? Stay away from someone who's going to charge 20%, or have a conversation with them and say, hey, in this property, you're not going to be doing a lot. Would you consider 10%? Would you consider 15%?
I think a lot of times it is that education, right? When it's midterm, because for a short term, a property manager needs to charge more because they might be taking over a towel at 10 p.m. or dealing with problems or complaints. With midterm, it's really you're paying someone to be there if you're long distance, right?
That's it. I mean, they don't get calls in the middle of the night. Exactly. They don't really have to answer. The expectation is someone will get back to you in the next 12 to 24 hours, because unless it's urgent, then you'll be okay. And if it's urgent, take care of it. We trust you. We'll know that it's something. And, you know, even just the communication of a pipe burst, that doesn't happen in Florida because, you know, though it doesn't freeze. But
if
if something like that was to happen, the expectation would be, you know, make the proper calls. If you can reach us, great. If not, you know, get a plumber there, send us the bill. We'll work it out, because we knew it would be something that they couldn't control. If it's something that they can control, usually it's something that can wait.
Awesome. So let's circle back to your portfolio and really hone in for our audience on what you have. So you have a midterm rental arbitrage. That's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment in Spring, Texas, currently renting for around $2,800 monthly. You have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath midterm rental arbitrage in Tampa, Florida, that currently rents for around $3,800 monthly. And then the one that you own in the Poconos is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath midterm rental house that you currently rent out for around $2,200 monthly.
Yes.
So let's get into, I love that you have such a variety of size and price points and location. You kind of cover it all in this one episode, which is amazing. So, you know, why did you choose those three locations?
Sure. Well, the first one was because it was where my family and friends have grown up. People have been going up into the Poconos Mountains of Pennsylvania for the last 50 years. My brother even got married up there, had the wedding and all of that by the lake. So it was lovely. So I was very comfortable with that area and I can be there in 2 hours. So just as I became more comfortable in understanding how this business works, when I was given opportunities in the distant, long distant locations, I was much more comfortable to say yes. And then I did do the data. I did do my due diligence and see, what did AirDNA say? What did Furnish Finder tell me about what's the appropriate rent to charge? Where are the hospitals? Where are the military bases? When I had that information, I felt very comfortable about doing business and getting these properties in the different locations. And good. I keep that top of mind as well. I mean, you mentioned early on, yes, I do live in New York City, but I have no intention of having any properties anywhere near New York City, like not within 1 hour radius, because of the needs and the laws and the locations and all that it would entail. I'm actually just much better off doing some other properties in different locations. As I connect with someone, I met someone at the Bigger Pockets conference who was from Boise, Idaho. And her name is Rebecca, and we became such good friends, and we learned about what we're both investing in, and we actually, you know, have started doing investments together. I don't know that much about Boise, Idaho, but I'm excited to start investing there because I know what has changed. The population, the jobs that are opening up, the technology, why is it going there? Are chips being built there? All those things I'm learning about, and you need that insider to give you that information. So it's been wonderful.
I am going to give a shout out to New York City hosts. Take heart. There are still lots of properties available on Furnish Finder in New York City. So don't be afraid to keep investing there. And there's an episode somewhere between 15 and 20. I don't remember the exact number, that is with a New York midterm rental host. So if you are in New York or interested in investing in New York, circle back to that episode.
And I think what both of you just said there is New York City is not right for Alexis. It's right for a lot of people.
Yes.
I live in the suburbs of Denver. I know a lot of people who invest in Denver. It's not right for me, right? So, and that is kind of an overarching theme here is just because it's not right for you doesn't mean it's not right for everyone or vice versa, right? But it has to fit what you're looking for, what you're comfortable with. So keep that in mind because there's everyone has different comfort levels and different boxes they're looking to check. Right. And it can come down to what kind of regulations do you want to deal with? What kind of price range do you have? All sorts of different qualifications. But there's opportunities everywhere. It just kind of depends on which ones do you want. Right. Okay. So I want to circle back to the fact that you have properties in three different areas and also three different cultural regions, if I may. You don't have Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, where like you're all kind of like, you know, the same little type of culture. Like you're dealing with three very different types or very different parts of the country. So I'm curious to when you take that and apply it to finding your team, because we all know how important finding a team is to success. How do you in three different areas, find your handyman, your cleaner, your host, if you will, right? How do you go about finding that in three very different areas?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to KeyCheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
Sure. I start with referrals. Start with the one person who got me connected in the area. Who do you know? And starting with that, my cleaning person in Texas, of course, her brother-in-law or some family member is a handyman, and she put me in touch with him, and they've been taking really good care of me. So go ahead and ask, because sometimes we feel uncomfortable asking, but when we ask for that help or that need, what we're doing is helping out the other family member because they're looking for the work or the job. So that's how I approach it is I do need some help, but who else can I help in that area? It's worked out very well. The same thing when I started with the property manager in Tampa and looking for some help and who's going to do things. And they're pretty good property managers. So when I needed a wall fixed and the washer had a missing part, I reached out and said, who do you know who could do this? And they have their trusted people as well who can come in and take good care. But it is building relationships. And I try to do, you know, those important things as soon as they put me in touch with that person or as soon as they fix it or get an invoice, I pay that person that day. So when she said it's going to cost $180 to fix X and Dimitri's going to take care of it, as soon as I got Dimitri's contract information, reached out, said thank you, make sure that they were compensated right away, and they knew that they could count on me. So it just really showed my character and that I value them and what they do, and there's just no delay. Not even, I try not to go more than 24 hours for things like that, because those are the relationships where they're like, when these people call, I'm going to go right away because I know I can count on them.
I love that. That's really good advice. I'm going to ask Katie's second favorite question. I don't know if she knows what that is or not, but furnishing. We love to talk about furnishing on the show, and especially your furnishing, like Katie said, for different cultures, different markets, and three different states. So how did you go about furnishing each of your properties?
Sure. I try to keep it pretty neutral, meaning that things that everyone would be comfortable with. I also keep it very easy because I repeat buy the same things. I go right into my Amazon cart and there's the same couch in every location. They have the same dishes, the same plates, the same artwork. I changed the artwork a little bit. Like in Tampa, I went a little bit more bold with the colors and some wilder flowers, and I kind of kicked it up a notch. And the same, just with two or three different pictures, when the same color scheme in Texas, I had to think, now what am I going to put in here? And it just was different types of landscapes and just different choices of, you know, animals and cows and bulls. I thought that was fun and the different, like,
for Texas, that was a great choice.
Exactly. So I figure you can't go wrong. Because even if you're coming to visit, this is what you want to see.
I always think it's funny because if you get into the depths of my Amazon orders, it's like, you've ordered this 5 times. You've ordered this 6 times. And I'm like, if someone were looking at this, they'd be like, man, this lady goes through a lot of plates. Like, every 4 months, she's getting a new set of dishes. How weird.
But even in the Poconos, I get the little plaques and things that say, lake this way, and life at the lake is lazy and fun, and just 2 or 3 things that reference the lake. And then when I went to Tampa, I got 2 or 3 things that look just like those, but they reference the beach. Life is a beach, and let this way to the beach, and some shells. And it made a big difference because lake life is different from beach life. Mm-hmm. It's different from, you know, being outside of Houston.
All right. So what kinds of software have you found helpful to keep yourself organized with move-ins, move-outs, you know, tracking your tenants, maybe bookkeeping, all of that type of stuff? What kind of softwares are in your toolbox?
I use QuickBooks to help me keep organized. And then once you get it set up right, it becomes so much easier to connect the checking account. And it knows, you know, which electricity bill goes to which house and so on. I couldn't do without it. I do still keep a spreadsheet that helps me with any other expenses, so I just don't lose them. The conferences and then the bills that go with the conference, you do need to capture that. And it can just be a box and a bullet point. Some people like to use a lot of fancy stuff. I keep it very simple. I keep track of my mileage. I know when and where I'm doing the drives. And the flights. Once you have the categories, then it's easier to just go in and bullet point what you do, because once you're organized, that's how you can prevent it from getting overwhelming, even with the 6 properties. I'm going to start using my virtual assistant, who I know is going to take me to the next level of being organized. And that's going to be a huge difference. So if you're not tech savvy or you don't like using a specific software, you're not sure what to do, and you like to do things by hand or by conversation, then, you know, there's different ways to get the help you need. And in my case, it's a virtual assistant who knows all that stuff and will take care of it, figure out what the tools are. The biggest takeaway is don't be afraid to ask for help. You don't have to do it all on your own. You don't have to make all of these decisions yourself and handle everything yourself. Go ahead and get the proper help, the right accountants, the right lawyers, the right insurance. And it's just a phone call and they're the experts. They'll take care of it.
Also, your point that it doesn't have to be complicated, right? I know. I mean, we have 5 rental properties. And for a while, I was looking at all these different types of softwares and this and that. And I'm like, you know what? For me, it's the tenant tracking function within Furnish Finder. It's a really simple spreadsheet and it's a bookkeeper. And what is really, really overwhelming for me and gives me heart palpitations, you know, last time I called the bookkeeper, she's like, it takes me 1 hour a month. She's like, your accounts are so easy. And I was like, well, it almost gives me a heart attack and I hate every second of it. And I never, ever want to look at it again. And she told me, she's like, that's why I'm here though. And I'm like, oh, and for me, what was so overwhelming and daunting and like gave me so much anxiety, for her, I'm her easiest person and I have to pay her for like 1 hour or 2 a month. It's a very low expense, especially when I like all that weight is taken off of my shoulders, right? But like, I just give her stuff in a spreadsheet. It doesn't have to be crazy complicated. So I think having that point of view is really important, because things do not have to be overly complicated. Kelly is the queen of keeping it simple.
I am.
Yes, you are when it comes to this stuff, right? Because sometimes I'll like ask Kelly, I'm like, what do you do for this or this or this? She's like, I just write it down. Or I use the tenant tracker function in Furnish Finder. Or, you know, I duplicate what I've done before. Like, she's not trying to create a new system all the time. It's just, this works. So I do it. And that always makes me feel better, because I'm like, Okay. Like, this doesn't have to be complicated.
I really appreciate that because I feel complicated a lot. So I like hearing that encouragement from you. Thank you.
No, it is. Yeah.
Good. So one thing you noted, which was my next question in the getting started process for those that are considering out-of-state investing or right there in their backyard, is how did you, you know, simplify the process of choosing the right insurance as well?
Well, I attended a wonderful conference, the Bigger Pockets, and right there, there was no other way. I would not have figured out that I shouldn't be using my regular homeowner's insurance and the regular companies that we see doing the crazy commercials on TV. you do need an expert. So I was able to find I think they handed out the flyers. They had a table at both of the events that I went to, both Bigger Pockets and Investor. There's always an insurance company there. I found one. I called, I followed up, I had a quick call, and they were like, this is the proper insurance that you need. This is the amount of coverage. It's actually not even as expensive as your regular homeowner's insurance because it's different.
Wow.
You're covering different things. And I was like, wow. And it just, you need to make sure you have the right coverage. But we're not insurance experts, right? So it's not something we would know. And they said, we can do all of your properties, that we handle all of them.
And that's amazing.
It's one big policy with the four houses separate because I own the houses. So I needed that type of policy. And I was like, well, this makes so much sense. It's one check. Well, actually, they go to each mortgage lender. They, you know, it's all taken care of. But I feel so much better that we have the proper coverage and I don't have to worry about any of it.
Which company is that?
NREIG. Wait. National Real Estate Group,
NREIG
Insurance.
And you'll have to give us the link so we can put
Absolutely.
It in the show notes as well in case people are interested.
Yes. So them and then also Belay for the virtual assistant. It was a big decision and it's one of those things where what I got about out of the conference is that I realized if I'm growing this business and I want to get involved in real estate and continue to grow, you have to invest in yourself, and investing in yourself is taking that leap and getting the proper help so that I can get to the next level, so that I can get more arbitrage property, so that I can do exactly what Jesse Vasquez says and go to the hospital and find out and have those conversations. Now I'm too busy, but once I get that virtual assistant, I'll be able to make more calls. I'll be able to do more strategic about how I'm going about getting.
And stop trying to do everything, right? Like, let's think about your job at LinkedIn. You don't do everything. You don't do everything there. You have a very specific role, right? And same thing, you know, Kelly and I at Furnish Finder, we don't do everything. We have a team. So if you have one property or if you have 100 properties, it's really important to get your team and to not be afraid to invest in that team, whether it's you're investing time or you're investing money. You know, you can do it all on your own, but you're going to have a really hard time getting to where you want to be. Or let's just say that you're like, I only want one property, which is totally fine. That's completely acceptable, right? And that's fantastic. But still, are you doing it the very best you could? Are you serving your tenants the very best way you can if you don't have a set handyman, right? If you don't have a professional cleaner? Like, all of this advice and these takeaways can be scaled all the way to, I have 1,000 properties and I need to get the team, or I have one ADU. You still need to have that. So take all of this advice and adapt it to your situation in the way that it's applicable, but it's still just as important.
Yeah. Here's one thing that actually made me make the decision to move forward to invest in an assistant is I was talking to another friend that I had met at the conference a couple months back and we were catching up, and she shared that she was just like, oh, her husband and her, they work full time, very, very busy. They live on the East Coast. Their properties are in Colorado. And she said to me, you know, we were frustrated and we couldn't find a property manager that we were happy with. We had three property managers that just let us down over the years. And we just decided we're going to sell the properties and get rid of them. And I thought, wow, you know, if they weren't so stressed and at their limit, perhaps they would have made a different decision. And I wouldn't want to just be frustrated or overwhelmed and make a quick or a rash decision that's going to hurt me in the long run just because I was feeling overwhelmed in that moment. The moment could be a month-long moment or a three-month-long moment of feeling overwhelmed. But if you take the right steps, they probably could have found a property manager somewhere in all of Colorado who was really good and would have taken care of their two properties, and they'd still have them and have that long-term income coming in. So
that's good advice.
It really made me just open my eyes and say, I don't want to get to that point where I'm making decisions based on my mood or how exhausted I am.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have one final question for this section, which is you have arbitrages, but then you have four houses in the Poconos in a variety of seasons. So how do you simplify things and make sure the exterior of the home is taken care of well with those seasonal or annual maintenance checks?
Oh, yes. That's definitely something. You have to do complete changes in the mountain regions, those four houses up north, because you have to put in the air conditioners and pull out the air conditioners, make sure there's firewood for the fire pits, and because there's lots of roasting marshmallows happening. Changing of the linens on the bed from thin blankets in the summertime to the thick, comfy quilts and extra quilts. In the winter, we don't have to get our chimneys checked anymore because we just put in electric so that there's no damage of people burning fires inside the chimneys in the house. But it is part of the conversation that I do have with my property managers. And in the spreadsheet, as far as keeping track of what needs to be done when, just some notes around now is the time when we need to make sure all the air. I just ordered an air conditioner like yesterday. For one of the houses, and we put them in. So just being organized and knowing that these are the things that are going to happen, it's a routine. And plus, we do it in our own houses. So when I think about what's going on where I live and what we have to do to make the changes, that helps me stay on top of what we have to do in the rental properties. The hardest thing, one of the most difficult things to deal with to date has been staying on top of the trash. Who's going to put out the trash? When is the trash going out? When is it pulled back? Because three of the houses are in a gated community up north. So if the trash goes out too early, there's a fine. If it comes back too late, there's a fine. If the bears knock over the trash and it goes all over the yard, you have to find someone to then go and pick up the trash and buy special things to keep the bears out at certain times of the year. So it's not just air conditioners and blankets. It's what are we doing to mitigate the bear situation upstate?
Isn't that so funny? I remember when we were at InvestorCon, Alexis and I, they did a live mastermind, and there was this very successful female investor on the stage, and they were asking her questions, and her biggest problem was something with the sewers. And they were like, wait, let me get this straight. Your biggest challenge is sewers. So you need to either figure that out or get someone who is really great at that, right? And so it's like Alexis's biggest problem is bears and trash. So she's figured it out, right? And because sometimes, you know, we're not investing in high-tech company. Like, we're not dealing with processors and crazy AI. We're dealing with trash and toilets and roofs and pests and rust. And these are all things that people have been solving for a long time. We just have to figure it out, find the team, find the process, and get it done. But it's just amazing that we can have these amazing properties and these beautiful places. We still have to figure out the trash. You know,
you've got to figure it out because the cleaning people are like, we clean, we don't put out the trash. That's not our job. So that was a no, but we did find out that one of the cleaning people had a son who wanted to make some extra money and is happy to do it for a bonus. And we're happy to pay him to go to all three houses once a week and put the trash out. Just roll the cans out and roll them back.
Yeah. So you found a solution with your team. It's just amazing how it's like, you know, all these big things, real estate investors, all these properties. And then it's like, oh, we got to figure out the sewer. We got to figure out the trash. Kelly, what's your biggest challenge?
Oh, that's a good
maybe
question.
Maybe not biggest challenge, but most simplistic challenge that's gotten elevated.
Watering. We have a couple houses that, you know, if we want to keep the grass in good shape without having a sprinkler system built in, that somebody's got to water. And that's not always easy to find the most affordable option since it's just watering, right? So right. Alexis makes a great point. Use your resources. Like, easily you could find someone in the neighborhood or some kid in the neighborhood that, you know, wants to make a little extra cash. But we just ask, I mean, it's literally like a 3-month period or something. So we typically just try to pass it on to our renters during that 3-month period. So like, hey, if it's looking a little sad, would you mind just like giving it a spruce? Like, all you got to do is turn it on, go do your thing for about 20, 30 minutes, and then come back and turn it off. So that's ours is watering.
Yeah. Mine is rust. Our Florida house. Everything rusts in Florida. They should call it just the land of rust. Everything rusts.
Any beach, right?
Yeah. You're near the beach. That's part of the beauty of it.
Well, let's go ahead and transition to Furnish Finder and Key Check Favorites. And I typically like to do a deep dive of your listings on Furnish Finder. And so I have some questions associated with that. And the first one is having kind of the theme continued of you have variety of cultures, variety of locations, prices, all that. So I found it very intriguing how you summed up what's most attractive in each of your areas into the headline on Furnish Finder. So I'm going to read all three of them and then you give us any feedback about them that you want. So your one, your condo in Texas is spacious 2-bed, 2-bath with pool and gym. Your Tampa property is family friendly Tampa retreat. And then your Pocono property, this one actually intrigues me, so I want to hear more about this one, is Country Place Drive 542. So tell us about your headline choices.
Well, the pool one, you want to make sure that's in there so people know that it is quite large. It's not a small place. It's a nice size. And I mean, there's a dog park, kind of just lets you know there's a lot of things that might be included in this so that if you are traveling for an extended period of time, you'll get to relax by the pool and you can actually work out. You don't have to just, you know, go for a walk outside when it's hot. You can exercise in an air-conditioned, nice gym. So then the next one is in Tampa. It's very large. So we can only advertise it as a 3-bedroom, but there's actually 4 bedrooms and like 5 queen-size beds. So 2 of the bedrooms have a double set of queen size beds. So that aren't bunk beds, just nice and spread out. So there's a lot of room. There's a 2-car garage. And there's places to hang out. There's places where people can come together and then still go to their separate areas. And then access all of the great things in Tampa. You can be in Ybor City, you can go downtown. So I think it's just really shows as a great place for a family. And within Furnish Finders, when the traveling professionals, medical professionals are traveling, they do take a look at, oh, okay, so the whole family can come, because I have seen, as you have, where they bring along dogs and kids and grandkids.
I have a fun one to add into that. Is that your crazy bunch in the background, Katie? They're so fun. Summertime, right?
Summertime. I actually hear them in the kitchen with the sitter chanting, "We want food. We want food." Which really is the theme of a kid when you're on summer, is all they do is eat.
Yes.
That's all they do. And every year in August, I'm like, you guys, when you go back to school, you can't just eat all day.
Yeah, that's nice. The teachers won't let them. Right. But so I like what you said about the family friendly and being like accommodating for your traveling medical professionals or your digital nomads, because it is that they do want to be able to share that space with visitors and travelers if they can, right? So Katie knows I have recently gotten into attempting the room rental situation. It provides more opportunity within your market, right? Like, rather than only offering a higher priced full entire unit, you can reach a lot of those tenant leads that we see come in around the $1,200 to $1,600 price range or the $1,600 to $2,000 price range by offering room rentals instead. So we market our Temple property, which has a three-bedroom, two-bath, and a 600-square-foot one-bedroom, one-bath ADU in the backyard. We market that both as an entire unit or as room rentals. So with our first room rental situation, one of our travelers is a wife. And so we worked into the communication, the process that, yeah, bring your husband up on the weekends, bring your dogs up on the weekends, you know, and you always have to, with pets, you always want to make sure they're in the lease, right? Make sure you've got your deposits in place that are, I like refundable. I don't like taking money for pets just, you know, because, but those that do, we understand there's cleaning involved, right? But it's like she knew it was okay to share her space with someone else. And I actually, I looked at our market in Temple and saw there was a lot of $800 to $900 room rentals in shared bathroom spaces. So rather than doing that, and I didn't, it's not necessarily a ton of inquiries coming in, but instead I made it like a luxury room rental where it was only two people in the three-bedroom house, and they each had their own private bathroom, and then one gets the master bedroom with master bath, and the other guest gets two bedrooms and their own private bath as well. So I'm excited to, that she actually hasn't moved in yet, so I'm excited to see how it goes and experience the room rental setup.
I am definitely going to give that a try.
It's fun. Like, it's worth, I want to be able to speak to it on our show. So I was like, why not? Let's jump in. Let's try it. And we, it doesn't have to be complicated. So, and then your third, the most intriguing, of all, the Poconos Country Place Drive 542. What's that headline?
Well, it was mostly to help me identify the property first, but the locals do know that name, a Country Place Drive. It's very well known as a place where you want to go and stay. People have their weddings there. It's called a Pocono Country Place. So people, they have weddings in this gated community. There's a lot. There's, I think, over 600 houses in the community. So it's very highly desired. And 542, they'll know to like where reference that is or what section or what area, because it comes with pools and beach access and kayaking. So there's some nice amenities. So we definitely want people to know if they're looking, because they'll narrow down by Pennsylvania or the Poconos Mountains, that this is one of the premier areas to be in, and that it's what it, they immediately will know what it's close to, the water parks, horseback riding, all of that.
I think we might, for market research, just Kelly and I might have to go visit for like a week just to make sure that, you know, it's legit, everything's good. So you just go ahead and mark that off for a week and we'll really do our due diligence there.
It is lovely.
It sounds lovely. And the last part I want to talk about for the Poconos, and I think we have time for one final question after that, and I'll let Katie get like surprise us with the final question. But I noticed that your Pocono property, it does say it's a 30-day minimum. So if you do offer it short-term as well, let us know. But it's not available again until March of 2024. So how did you secure such a great long stay if that is one person?
It is. It's one family. And it started out on the midterm rentals site, but they wanted to extend it. To see, they were like, well, we're not sure. We see it's midterm, but we found it here and we want to do a full term lease. So they have it secured until then, because that's when they know, you know, they'll make a decision on what they want to do. It's a young family. Do they want to rent someplace else? Do they want to start buying a house? You know, my real estate agent also was aware of the property. So they are, already have a relationship with her. And they're like working on their future. So it's all pretty exciting.
And so they rented it for a year furnished from you.
Yes.
Great.
It does happen. It does happen.
I know, especially in different markets, it happens. But it happens everywhere, just more frequently in some markets. But that's amazing.
Yeah. I think it's interesting.
Okay, Alexis, the grand question of the hour is, how are you doing profit-wise?
So I started this whole venture in December of 2020, we started looking, got the four houses in 2021. And then I think 2022, the arbitrages. So the first thing you have to do is recoup the money from the investments, getting them set up and all of that. But they are absolutely all cash flowing. So the Tampa property cash flows about $800 a month over. And the one in Texas is about $500 a month cash flow. And then the ones up north vary, but the ones that have just switched to long-term cash flow about $1,000. Not each, but I guess $1,200 combined. So it's adding up. It's adding up. And we're paying down, you know, the furnishings, and soon that'll be behind you. And I just look at the different math of like, that's an expense and this is the cash flow, and we got to write off the expenses. So as you know, in real estate, there's so many other amazing benefits for many different reasons, and how things are categorized, and get a good accountant. They help you structure everything, even on your spreadsheet, so that you can keep track, like from traveling up there to buying paper towels, to getting bungee cords to put on the garbage bins to keep the bears out, keeping those receipts.
Oh, the bears.
Oh, the bears. Yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to Aaron Spradlin. Aaron is a midterm rental coach in the Colorado area, but has a YouTube channel. So she coaches nationwide, and she has a second book out on midterm rentals. And one thing that is in the book that you should all grab the book, I'll put it in the show notes to go read and look through, was the value of appreciation and cash flow. So she breaks it down really well. She says, if you look at, you know, an annual, let's say a property appreciates within 1 year, $30,000. Well, look how long it would take to make that same amount in cash flow. So it was like, what cash flow is important, but it doesn't have to be the deal breaker if you find something that is appreciating in the right area. So go get her book. It's really good. But you made me think about that with this profit conversation. And I go back to the fact that you're arbitraging, which means the rent is already marked up a little bit because a long-term landlord wants to make money as well if they can. And you have different people in place that are helping you with these properties, and you're still profiting $500 to $800 for these arbitrages per month. That's amazing.
Well, so I would love to hear a little bit about your experience and some insights for LinkedIn, because I know everyone has a LinkedIn profile, right? But some people use it to help build their networks and to expand their real estate investments and their real estate, you know, networks, things like that. And some of us have a LinkedIn profile and they log on twice a year and reset the password every time. So I'd love to hear kind of your tips and tricks for best practices, how to use it specifically for those property owners out there.
Absolutely. Well, LinkedIn's mission is to create economic opportunity for every member of the global workforce. And so for business owners or real estate investors, it's a great place for you to share and tell your story, what you work on. You can go into more details. You can, you know, put on your profile what you work on, what is specific important to you, from whether an area that you're investing in or what areas you're open to investing in. It's a great way to connect with others inside the community. There's a lot of, you know, real estate groups, and then the different kinds. What are you interested in? Single family homes. Is it someone specific that you'd like to follow? And then you can see, well, who else follows this person, right? And then of course, connect with that. So you can think of it as a different way to grow your business, expand your network, and get a lot of knowledge. There's also just some resources there that are just invaluable to how you can enhance your business, expand it, make it better, efficient more, or just learn from some experts, because they can also do just videos or what's trending, what books are going on, when some new data becomes available, how you can access that real estate data I find that to be really useful, even on something like following CNBC and seeing and having that highlighted for what they share about the real estate market in particular, not just the investment side. So I really love that.
Yeah. I think what else is important to know, and this is more from like a very casual user experience on LinkedIn, right? Is that when you post something on LinkedIn, your connections, everyone gets to see what you're doing. And in the world of real estate, you never know who has a property they're looking to get rid of, is looking to invest some money, or, you know, is looking for a place to stay. You never know, because housing is something that every single person needs. But it's not something that you're going to blast the whole world off it, right? Like, I'm not going to go posting all over my LinkedIn, hey, I'm looking for a furnished rental in Baltimore for a month. But if I see that one of my connections, you know, runs properties and has these furnished rentals, there's an opportunity there. So it's a really great place to just kind of share your story and share what you're doing and see what sticks.
You know what I really like about LinkedIn? I feel like a lot of social media platforms can get very negative and people, you know, have their persona of who they are. And sometimes it comes across very hostile on other social media platforms. But I feel like on LinkedIn, it's inspirational and positive things that people share. Like, you don't see a lot of pushback on LinkedIn. I really like that.
Yeah, that is one of our core values, is to keep it positive and focused and expanding and networking. And it's not just about opinions. It's about sharing what you have and what knowledge and information and resources, what you're doing, what you're looking for, what you need. Sometimes it's not a job or an investment. It's education, information. Where do I go to buy this? Where do I go to find that answer? So a lot of times that is the best part about it, is that you can get information from the hive mind without opinions.
Yep,
for sure. So if you have not been motivated by Alexis' conversation today, then I just don't know what's going on in your brain. So we thank y'all all for listening. Alexis, if there's a special way you want them to reach out to you, let us know. But otherwise, we always say, you'll find the link to her Furnished Finder properties in the show notes on YouTube and on audio platforms as well. And we just so appreciate you sharing your story with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure. Take care.
Bye, everyone. Have a great week. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and review.